Well, just real quickly, I promise you I won't take just real long. Wanted to talk about our pillars of why we exist. And so we're glad you guys are here. Hope you come every Tuesday. Next Tuesday night, we actually have a dream interpretation class with Amy Coelho that I know that you just tremendously loved. I'd love to have all of you guys and gals back. But we exist. When I was in Cambodia, I'd been a pastor over at Sojourn. I know this is a repeat for most of you. For 16 and a half years, go to Cambodia, and God just whaps me upside the head and wants us to start a church plant. And felt like, you know, our mission statement, what it is, and our priorities of the seven pillars of what it would exist for and everything. And I want to continue to talk about prayer, but I want to talk about the Word. Two of our pillars tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Hebrews 11:3. Wendy Kay this past week talked and showed some videos about some water crystals and music that's played over them or words that are written over them. The first time I saw that was in Bethel. Dan McCullum, a worship leader in California, actually showed that and showed where rock music is played over crystals like AC/DC, Highway to Hell, and all those different things. And it literally changes. It literally would make the water crystal just black. I mean, it's a tremendous, tremendous little teaching that Dan did 2 years in a row when Roland and I went out there for the School of the Prophetic. And so you have these water crystals that, and like Wendy Kay talked about, we're 60 to 80%, really 80% of our bodies made up in water. And so it really is a key of what we speak over one another. And in my life, prayer has been birthed out of reading of the Word, and I want to talk about that here in a minute. Some of you will have a gift, and you've got to find that vein that you find yourself in prayer for. Seeing some others, it may be coming from that place of worship, and man, you're able to fall into that vein of prayer. For me, it's reading the Word, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. Jesus is the Word. And so as he is that Rhema Logos word, and as we read the Logos word, God loves to take the Logos word and make a Rhema word out of it. A Rhema word is a prophetic word, is a now word. I mean, some churches who may be dead in tradition, it's a Logos word. It even talks about when we make the traditions of man so important that the Word of God becomes of no effect. That's what Scripture says. But man, when you have a man of God or a woman of God who is Spirit-filled, they have the energy of the Holy Spirit, the same one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead that lives in them, when they preach or talk or when they pray, man, there's a rhema word that comes out of the things that they're praying. It's like I shared a couple of weeks ago. Mike Bickle has been praying the apostolic prayers for years, International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And you can listen to his prayers out of Ephesians 1:17 and teachings in the 80s and listen to him today. And the deep well that is there is amazing. Well, in our prayer life, going back to those water crystals, as we pray and we pray the Word of God, just like these people have an insomnia, I believe it starts changing and moving things. Before I get into what I want to talk about out of Hebrews and talk about praying, it says in Matthew 17:20-21, it's when Jesus has just come off the mountain of transfiguration. He meets a group of people. His disciples could not cast this demon out of this young boy. He cast this demon out and nothing flat, just boom. And the disciples came to him and says, how come we couldn't do that? And he says, because you have unbelief. He says, you got to understand, all you got to do is have faith as little as a mustard seed. And you'll speak to a mountain and that mountain will be removed. He says, also, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Tuesdays, I hope you're getting into it, is a day that as Hope Fellowship, we're wanting to make it a day of prayer and fasting. I believe prayer and fasting also removes unbelief. It reveals to us the unbelief areas of our life. And can I tell you, we have a lot of mountains in our society. Some of us have mountains in our lives that we need to rise up and pray and declare God's goodness, what he says over our lives. Last night I was watching O'Reilly Factor. I just want to talk about a few mountains. I like Bill O'Reilly. He kind of says it like it is. And again, we're not political here, but there are political things going on, that spirit of Antichrist. This past Sunday at the U.S. Open, they kicked the U.S. Open off, had it on TV, and I'm a big golf fan. And when they did the national anthem, they intentionally left out One Nation Under God. There is such a spirit of Antichrist, and if you remember being here a month ago, Hopers, I talked about the counterfeit truth that's out there. There is such a spirit of Antichrist that's going after the core of this nation, and many of us as Christians, some of us as Christians, we're just going through our dead prayer life instead of rising up. No, that cannot be in our time or our generation and all those things. Last night, he also talked about how in the New York school in an eighth grade, I think it's eighth grade, where Louis Armstrong's song of When the Saints Come Marching Home, they didn't even want the word saints spoken in the song, and they made him change it to ants in a public school system. The governor of New Jersey, Governor Christie, literally is having his kids go to a Christian school. And at a town hall meeting, they asked him, he says, okay, how come you don't have your kids go to public school and all of that? Man, he was forthright of why. He says, I'm choosing to raise my kids up under the principles of God. And again, please hear me. I'm not downing public schools if any of you have your kids in public schools. But he's intentional of how he wants his kids brought up. And he wasn't apologetic or anything. And I love the truth that he was saying. But this morning in the Dallas Morning News editorial, they have about talking about Rick Perry in the prayer deal that's going to be going on in the beginning of August that we're going to be part of. But it made something very interesting in there. Almost 50 years ago, John F. Kennedy gave a speech in Houston, Texas, to the Ministerial Alliance. And he said, literally, basically, what he said, and I've looked at two different little transactions of it. He literally said, hey, I'm a Catholic, but I believe in church, separation of church and state, and I'll lay down my Catholic beliefs to be the president of the United States. I don't think it's a coincidence that God is having Rick Perry call the governors of our nation together to come and pray because we're a nation in crisis. Back to the very scene of what I believe 50 years ago, something very terrible was released in our land when President Kennedy made that decree and declaration. And I'm hoping and praying that many, many of our governors, the governor of California is already saying, I'm not coming, we don't need that, blah, 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 blah. Church, we've got to become a people of prayer. It's amazing. I could literally say this Sunday, and I've said this before over at Sojourn, that we're going to have a prophet next week, and there'd be 400 people in this room next week to get a word. You say you're going to have a prayer meeting, and you get this kind of people. And I'm not the only one who's saying that or watching it. We've got to judge fruit the way it is. It's an indicator of the spiritual thermometer and thermostat of the American church. And there's got to be something that when we're talking about prayer, no, man, I've got to go because I want to learn more about prayer. I want to be part of decreeing and speaking to the mountains that are affecting our society, affecting our public schools, affecting marriages, affecting so many other things, and I'm going to speak life into it. Amen? Okay, quick intro. Verse 3 in Hebrews 11:3 is a very, very key part in the way that I've prayed for years. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That word framed, and I've wished that I knew every definition in Hebrew and Greek, because in that word framed is a very key part. Because again, the worlds were framed by the word of God. It means this, the word framed, to set in order and to complete what is lacking. That's what the word framed means there. When I saw this many, many years ago in Scripture, I thought, man, I just need to be praying the word of God over situations. Again, logos, but I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give me revelation. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give me something rhema out of the Word so that I can pray for people. I want something rhema that it talks about in the Word that I pray and decree over marriages, over single people, over the youth of this church, the youth of this Metroplex. I'm looking for something rhema out of the Word to pray over President Obama. So I just wanted to speak a few things and show a couple of things in this area. And I hope that you start getting the gist of what I'm saying. Ephesians 5 says that the praying of the Word, the speaking of the Word over my precious wife, what does it say it does to her? It says it washes her. So I don't even believe that that's just for my wife. When I pray the Word of God, when I take the Word of God, just like the apostolic prayers, when I pray Ephesians 1:17, God, Father of glory, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge of who you are. May I know the hope of your calling for my life. And so I pray these scriptures. I can be here. I can be in Juarez, Mexico. I can be in Cambodia. The Spirit of God, when I'm in Cambodia, praying for my precious wife in Carrollton, even if she may be having a struggle day, as I'm praying something rhema out of the Logos Word of God, it starts washing in any shame that tries to develop there, anything that may be trying to go on, it washes her spiritual eyesight and her spiritual insides. Now, to me, that's a great promise, right? And isn't it amazing that we're so distracted or whatever that is, and I've shared this before, Barna's latest poll is the average Christian reads 5 minutes a day of the Word of God and prays 5 minutes a day. No wonder we're in this situation that we're in. Literally, church, we ought to be engulfing this thing, saturated in it, and staying in it about 2 hours a day. And I know many of us have hard jobs and everything, so if you can only get 30 minutes, God multiplies that. But through the different seasons, we have the opportunity when we see something in society. For example, when I go down to Harry Hines Boulevard, because God wants us to see in the natural prostitution, bondage, right? Spirit of bondage, unholiness. When I go down there and I'm driving or we're prayer walking like Saturday, what I do? Lord, would you release the spirit of your love upon this place? Because what does it say in Romans 8? That it's a spirit of bondage. And when we release that, when people get the revelation of the love of the Father, what does it say that their hearts cry out? Abba, Daddy, Abba, Daddy. And no longer do they have a spirit of bondage, but a revelation of the love of God. What are you praying over your neighbors? What are you praying over your street? What are you seeing is going on in your city? What do you see that's going on in some of your family members' lives? That God wants to give you a logo scripture and pray it in a rhema word. In that, my precious wife, she had an earthly father who did not know how to show affection. I think, you know, as we've talked about it over the years, I think he told her two times in her life that he loved her. So there was, he really did love her, but there was a disconnect himself because he grew up as an orphan and a stepdad and all those other different things. And so he had some issues. But my precious wife, again, framed. My precious wife carried those wounds in her heart. So I'm reading the Word. Now, I've been praying this over her off and on for years. I'm reading the Word one day, and I come over to Luke 1:28. It says this. And this is the angel that comes to Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." What does she have? She has rejection on her. She has shame on her. We're in the ministry, but she still has that on her. Just like I've shared before, I used to have incredible fear on me. And I'm going to get to that. So I read this scripture. And to you, you may hear it and go, "That's the scripture God gave you." Man, it did and it worked. "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." We were already going to Juarez at the time, and I was praying crazy prayers for Celia. God, let her be honored and loved and cherished by the community of Sojourn Church. May she be loved and honored and cherished and know the revelation of your love among the friends and people of Juarez, Mexico, Emmanuel Ministry, where we went. I was praying that all of a sudden where she felt rejected, because when you feel rejected, and you have that spirit of rejection on you, you can sit at a table of eight women and you'll think you're the least at that table of eight. Am I right? So all of a sudden, I've watched my wife over the years to rise up and go, man, I am highly favored and blessed among by God and among my peers. We have to really got to start watching and looking. And it may not happen overnight. For me, as many of you at Hope know this, years ago when I first got in ministry at 20 plus years ago, I had this spirit of fear because my entire life had been built on sports. And so you live through the applause of man. Well, let me tell you, you can preach some bad messages. I don't do it often. Just kidding. But when you do, if you've gone by the applause of man, you'll go home just beat down. You'll go home because this fear, just you're driven by success of how many people may have stood up, how many people may attend a service, or all of those different things. So as I come into Ephesians 3, I start noticing to be rooted and grounded in the love of the Father. I started noticing to know the height, the depth, the length, and the width of His love. And all of a sudden, I start realizing the height, the depth, and the length, and the width is Jesus Christ on the cross, the very measure of love. For 18 months, I prayed those scriptures over me. And one morning, I rise up, and there is no fear in my heart, in my belly, in my thought life. I start watching my wife, where all of a sudden, rejection is no longer the lid holding her down, because God was giving me rhema out of a logos word that became living manna to each of our spirit. One of the mantles, one of the pillars of this house will be prayer. I hope that you're a person who prays the word, because God wants to give you a revelation of the rhema that's in the logos word, where it becomes active and living. Amen? Just real quickly, for years when our kids were little, I was reading 1 Samuel 16:18, and I love the stories of David and everything. And when I read this scripture one day, and you don't have to turn there, I'm just telling you the scriptures that were life for me and life for my family. It says this when they go, well, who is this guy? And one says, well, there's this guy. He's one of the servants. I've seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. This son, David, is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. For probably a decade, I prayed this prayer over all three of our kids. Not only would they be skillful in playing a musical instrument, but as you pray a scripture, God starts building the depth of it. And I started praying and asking God to make them skillful in handling relationships. And they've all three have had to deal with some tough situations that's gone on in their life. But I believe as I prayed for them, now they're 26, 25, and 22. That was years ago when they were 6, 8, and 10. I believe that scripture, if you've ever seen that commercial, the Fidelity commercial, where all of a sudden that green line starts going out to direct you of your investments. Anybody seen that commercial? That's what prayer and praying the word does. It guides the path for you where you don't stray away. And you're rich in all those things, because that's what that commercial is supposed to do. And as I prayed that prayer with them, I would go, Lord, let Corey be a mighty man of valor, that he would never be fearful of doing the things you call him to do. Lord, let Ashley and Jennifer be strong women of God. And then when I'd go to man of war or woman of war, it wouldn't be about being violent in the natural, but it would be about violent lovers for Jesus. So I would ask you tonight, and I'm going to give a few more examples, then I'm going to close. What scriptures are you praying over your family? What are you asking the Holy Spirit to give you revelation out of that scripture? And the more you pray it, the deeper revelation of it will come. Years ago, as we took over Sojourn Youth Group, probably about 20 years ago now, it was a healthy youth group at 50. And all of a sudden, after two Sundays that I preached hardcore messages, we dropped down to about 12. They thought, man, this guy's not going to offer ski trips or all of these other things. And we weren't, and that's what we wasn't looking to be hired for that. But it makes you think after 1 month you're about to get fired when you've taken a good youth group of 50 down to 12. But we knew what God had called us to. And in this one particular passage, and I encourage you to look at this later, 2 Kings 18 and 19, both chapters, it talks about how an army comes up against Hezekiah in Israel. And they come and they tell him what's going to happen to him. And he tells them about all the other kingdoms of the world that have been defeated through this great Assyrian army. And he says, and Hezekiah, do you really believe your God can stand up against us? I mean, it releases so much fear into the camp. Hezekiah is declaring women need to birth, but they don't even have strength to give birth. That's what the enemy tries to do with fear. And as I was reading this and as I was thinking of the story and everything, the next day they came, the Assyrian army came with the war decree going, okay, on 2 days from now or whatever, we're going to come in and we're going to overtake the land. And he did something in that war decree. He took that assault and accusation of the enemy, and he came and he went to the altar of the Lord, went to prayer. He tore his clothes, that was a mark of humility, put sackcloth and ashes on, a place of humility that our trust is in the Lord. And he brought that accusation of the enemy to the altar. He sent a group of people to go talk to the prophet Isaiah and says, tell him it's a bad day. Women are pregnant and they don't have strength to give birth. Tell him we need a word from the Lord. But he brought the decree before the altar of God in prayer. And when I'm reading this story one day, I used to pray over the youth list of all of the kids that were in the youth group at Sojourn Church. And as I was reading this story, I started thinking, two of them, the dads had just recently left in a separation of their mom. And I knew how heartbroken the families were. I started thinking of all the different histories and accusation of the enemy that had been brought before so many of these families on the list. And I literally brought it in an altar before the Lord as I was reading that story. And I started asking the Holy Spirit to give me something rhema. In that, the Lord told me to go outside, take that list, and take a lighter and set it on fire. Because in the midst of those accusations that these kids were hurting, they were also being very lukewarm and passive before the Lord. As I lit that list on fire in the natural and burned it down to nothing, within almost weeks, the youth group came alive. And I'm telling you, I don't believe it's a coincidence. That song that we sang, I will do what you tell me to do. I'll go where you tell me to go. It works in prayer. The reason a lot of us don't show up for a time when we talk about prayer, because we don't see much fruit in our prayer life. And I would almost beg to say God hasn't changed. Of how Jesus was so accurate in his prayer life and so fruitful in his prayer life. It's because most of us, some of us, not anybody here or you wouldn't be here, you do and you act of what God's telling you to do and to say in your prayer life. Does that make sense? I just want to give a few more examples. Also in the youth group, and I was reading the story of Joshua one day, and again, this was about 16 years ago. And as I was reading the story, and that the Jordan River was going to part, and as they brought the Ark of the Covenant through, and he tells the priest, he says, grab one stone. Each of you tribe leaders, grab one stone. And they grabbed these 12 stones. He said these 12 stones would be a memorial that you'd tell your children and your children and your children's children, the lineage line forward of how the Jordan River parted and we came through. As I'm reading this story, the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. Here's 12 cities. And he starts giving them to me. Coppell, Carrollton, Farmers Branch, Dallas. There was 12. Richardson, Plano. Thank you. I still have those rocks today, but for 3 years, I went to the courthouse lawn. Wasn't stealing. There's just a few little rocks at each of them where the flag flew at each city courthouse. And I was to take a rock that represented that city, one of the memorial stones. And on those Wednesday nights for 3 years, for sometimes as much as 30 minutes or longer, kids in the youth group would stand on those rocks that were from those particular cities and speak to the city and speak destiny to it, scripture. I'm just telling you, I believe that when we get to heaven one day, we're going to see a lot of people that came to know him through that 3 year period because a group of youth from 12 to 18 was standing on rocks from a Rhema story that of a logo story in the Bible, and they prayed for their cities. And I believe the gates of hell were shutting down and the gates of heaven opening for people to get saved, healed, and delivered. Amen? Even this morning, and I promise you I'm going to close soon. Even this morning as I was reading Acts 5, I started reading about what it says of what the Holy Spirit's for. He's to convict of sin and to restore righteousness. Over our body of believers, of hopers, I started praying, Lord, if there's sin in the camp, would you convict us? Convict each and every one of us in any way we're not living wholeheartedly for you. When you read the word, it ought to birth you into prayer. As I was reading that scripture, I was thinking and I was praying over righteousness to be restored to any and every area of our life of the righteousness of who King Jesus is. In chapter 5 also, it's when Ananias and Sapphira falls dead. Now, I didn't start praying any of that for anybody to fall over dead. But I started praying for the fear of the Lord to come back to this nation. We've lost the fear of the Lord in many, many aspects. And we need to gain the fear of the Lord once again. We talk about how God won't judge us, but man, there's something jealous about God that he hates it when we lie, and we lie so easily, and most of all, we lie to the Holy Spirit about the Holy Spirit. As I kept reading that book, the chapter 5 of Acts 5, came to the story of where Peter gets so anointed in a season that everybody that comes in contact with the shadow, all are healed and all are delivered that had demonic spirits. I started praying for people in this house who have diabetes, people who have heart issues, people who have eye issues, people who have the different sicknesses that are going on. It launched me into a place of praying for healing and miracles. Church, I'm here to tell you it's time to take this Logos word that is powerful. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring Rhema out of it, and it will become a fiery dart. And mountains that are being obstacles for some marriages, some families, some sicknesses, I believe with everything within me, will go to the sea and disappear. Lance Wallnau does a great teaching that he got from YWAM years ago about the seven mountains of influence that's in our land. They're the greatest influence. It's Hollywood, it's medicine, it's education, it's family, and all those things. And it's really challenging the church to rise up and pray over these mountains of influence. I want us to get to there, but we can't jump to there if we're not even doing it in our own Jerusalem, which is your life. We sometimes try to jump to praying over the ends of the earth, and we haven't even done it to our own Jerusalem, our own life. You're looking at a man who prayed Ephesians 3 and fear couldn't stay. You're looking at a man who prayed for his wife where rejection no longer was a lid to her life. You have to do it in your Jerusalem. And when you do it in your Jerusalem and you gain victory in your Jerusalem, you'll have authority in your Judea. I was faithful to pray for my city and my neighbors, just like those rocks. When you're faithful to do that, guess what? You get favor and authority to pray over your Samaria, which was Juarez, Mexico, and Emmanuel's ministry. When you're faithful to do that and you pray scripture and you decree to orphans when they sleep in Juarez that they would know the revelation of the love of the Father, He all of a sudden gives you authority to pray to the ends of the earth. The church, and some of us, and I was that way too, we want the big grander to where we pray over the ends of the earth. And we don't have authority here if we haven't done it back in our Jerusalem. Make sense? Let's close in prayer. Father, we ask that you would cause us to be in love with you in a way, new ways and greater ways and greater revelation of your love. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd stir us up to a mantle of prayer, a mantle of reading your word, Lord. I pray over the hopers of this house, Lord, that we would truly fall in love with the book of Acts, that all of a sudden impossible situations don't even look impossible any longer because we've come in contact with the living God in greater ways. That as we pray the Logos Rhema word, Lord, over situations, things would change. God, we speak your blessings over this nation of the United States of America. We do declare that it's one nation under the living God, the great I Am, the great physician, Jesus Christ Almighty, that we are one nation under the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that we are one nation under the great I Am. We are one nation under the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. That's who this nation belongs to, and that's the God that we serve. I pray, Lord, from the north, south, east, and west, all across this nation, that the God that I just declared, would you visit people through their night watch tonight, Lord? Would you visit them through their sleep, Lord, that they would encounter the great physician, that you would empty out hospitals because all of a sudden the bride of Christ is praying from a place of authority, a place of victory like never before. God, would you raise up men and women of God who pray over marriages between one man and one woman to be husband and wife, Lord, where the spirit of coming against marriages would be destroyed because the bride of Christ is rising up to pray, that they're understanding that the time of awakening is now, now, today, now, 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 for the glory and honor of our King Jesus. We thank you for this nation. We thank you for all that you've done and that you're going to do to awaken your bride to a great destiny. I speak your blessings over every one of these people, that you'd bless them spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and financially for the glory and honor of our King Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.